You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today I was going to give you an update of yesterday's show and in terms of the details of what's happening in Brussels. But after preparing the show, and that's not the focus of the show, but I was going to include it as part of it, I've decided to really hold off. Why? Because we're getting details, more and more details in, and I'd rather get a more complete update than just the body count. And I was trying to help somebody writing a story on this, and we were trying to check out exactly what is the death toll. It looks like it's still what I said originally. 20 people were killed at the railroad station, and 14 were killed in the airport. Now, usually those numbers include the bombers, because you have bodies, and you don't know whether they're bombers or not. That's part of the investigation that they're doing right now. The airport is still closed, and it might take not hours, but days before they sort all this out. Now, we do have a little bit more information about the bombers and the cell in Brussels. It looks like, and this is somewhat unusual, first you had brothers that killed themselves. One did it at the airport, and one did it at the train station. They were two of the three suicide bombers. The third suicide bomber, and this is what's unusual, was actually the bomb maker. That's the information so far that I'm hearing on the news. Now, they have names, but the key thing is that, A, they were brothers. Two of the bombers were brothers. And what's unusual is usually the bomb maker is not the person that commits suicide, because he's making bombs for other actions or operations. Why would he do this? I think he thought that they had his name, his time was running out, so he decided exactly when he was going to kill himself and decided he did it, and he did it at the airport. Now, the third person, there's now a photograph. You have three people in the photograph. One of the brothers is in the middle, and he has his hand in a glove. The one on the far left is actually the bomb maker that also blew himself up. The third person is still at large. Now, what is happening right now in Brussels is they're rounding up suspects. They have a list of people that in the past has had involvement in this, so they're going to arrest a lot of people, try to question them and get additional information. It looks like there's more people that part of the Islamic State and part of this operation that are on the loose, and they're still looking at it. So that's why there's a lot more information on what happened in Brussels that we simply don't know. And like I said earlier, and I've handled many of these types of stories, the details are constantly changing, because what happens is reporters are going to their sources. Some are very good, some aren't, and you're going to get conflicting information. Eventually, though, what you want is a confirmed list of the names of the people that were both killed as well as injured. In terms of the injury rate, as of yesterday afternoon, they were saying over 200, although they were getting reports of over 230. I've seen a report now it's over 270 people were injured, which doesn't surprise me given the number of people that were both at the airport and in the subway. Remember, this is during the rush hour. Now, there's one detail, and it's an important detail, and I emphasized this in the last show. They were targeting Americans, ladies and gentlemen, because who has their counters there? United Airlines, Delta, and American Airlines. And the bomb, and this is a correction to my first report, was apparently at the counter, I believe it's 11, 10 or 11, that is the Delta Airlines. Not American, but American is right next to it. So when this bomb goes off, why did they select that? Because these flights are going to the United States. So they're targeting American Airlines and the biggies, Delta, United, and American. And the second bomb was near Starbucks. So there's a lot of people. Now, what's a new development is that originally this bombing was to occur the Monday after Easter. In other words, this upcoming Monday, because it's a big holiday there, and they thought there would be a lot more people at the airport. And in other words, they would be able to kill more people. The only reason they pushed the operation up to yesterday, Tuesday, was the fact that they had arrested a person that was involved in the planning and the execution of the Paris bombings, and they were fearing that he was going to talk and lead them to the people that were involved in this bombing. So that's why. And I'll give the information. I'll get you the names. There, a lot of these are Arab names. What's significant is the two brothers were born in Belgium. You see, the problem is you have a lot of immigration from Northern Africa, Algiers, of Muslims to both France, Brussels, Belgium, Netherlands, and the United Kingdom. And because the European Union has pursued more or less an open borders policy, and the reason why is very simple, that we have, and I alluded to this and probably didn't spend enough time on it, is the replacement ratio of natives of these countries is going down, down, and down. In other words, they're not having enough children to replace the existing population. The fertility rate, you need to have 2.1 babies being born for each couple to just replace the existing population. In other words, that doesn't mean it's going to grow or decline, but just to keep up, you need 2.1. Most of these European nations, Spain, Germany, France, United Kingdom, Italy, Russia, it's way below 2.1. It's 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, 1.5, and the number bounces around. But the bottom line is this. If they didn't have immigration, their population would, over time, go down, down, and down. In other words, what's happening in Europe today, the population is getting older. The only reason it's not as old it is because of immigration, and a large percentage of the immigration is from and by Muslims from either Northern Africa or the Middle East. And they have birth rates of 3 or 4 or 5. And France has a lot of Muslims in France. And there are many, many cities today where there's a large percentage are Muslim. And the problem is a lot of them simply don't assimilate. They stay in their local community. So we're going to have more details. And as they come out, I'll try to digest it, summarize it, and give you an update. I've given you the highlights so far. And really, how does this relate to the United States? What is the key issue that Donald Trump, as well as Ted Cruz, but really Donald Trump started this? He made immigration, especially illegal immigration, the issue in the 2016 presidential elections. Now, the establishment of both the Democratic and Republican Party doesn't want that. They're trying to ignore the will of the American people that wants illegal immigration stop and wants the number of legal immigrants coming to this country actually cut, not increased. Today, roughly 1,300,000 people enter this country each year getting a green card, which means a permanent residence card. The powers that be of both parties want to increase it to 2 to 3 million per year. And that's really what the Republican Party is about. And I really think that's what Donald Trump is about. He doesn't make that really clear, because what his supporters hear is he wants to build a big, huge, powerful wall with the door, and all the illegal aliens here will have to go home, and then those that don't have a felony record can come back under an expedited visa program and then get permanent legal residence. That's, in a nutshell, what Donald Trump wants. What his supporters don't hear is that last part. They hear the wall. They hear he wants to deport him. And they also, to be fair to Trump, and he, I think, gets credit because he got a lot of criticism, he wants a temporary ban on Muslim immigrants until we really figure out what's going on. And I agree with him. But what happened when he raised that? He was accused of being a racist, an Islamophobe. It can be done. I don't want to import potential terrorists into this country. I don't want to repeat the mistakes that Europe has made over the last 20, 30 years. Actually, a little longer than that. We need to get our country's sovereignty back by really securing the borders and making sure that those that are here illegally either go home voluntarily on their own or are legally deported. That's what the American people want, the majority of the American people. I'm not talking Democrats or Republicans or conservatives or liberals. That's what the American people want. And both political parties are ignoring the will of the American people, and that's why Trump is surging. He won Arizona, which was winner-take-all. He got an additional 58 delegates yesterday and got 47% of the vote. Ted Cruz got 40 delegates in Utah, not unexpected, because Utah is dominated by Mormons, and Mitt Romney is a Mormon, a Mormon bishop, actually, and supported him, endorsed him, and supported him. And really, the Mormons are not crazy about Donald Trump. So Ted Cruz did very, very well in Utah. No surprises there. But he didn't do that well. And remember, Arizona was winner take all. And Trump got, and I have the results. For those that are new to the show, the way you listen to this show is go to my companion blog, which is pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And if you go there, under my photograph, you have links to the most recent 60 to 80 shows. At the very bottom of the page, you have all my shows. And this is the 644th show. We're getting up there. But the reason I point this out, you'll get a lot of additional information. My notes or show prep or part of, I'm really selecting. There's a lot of information I put in it. Some of it is on this terrorist attack, but that is not the primary focus. Right now, if you look at the delegate counts, and I have it, there's one place that I always go to, and that's called Green Papers. And I have a chart that shows what the total results are so far. Donald Trump has a total of 755 delegates. And Ted Cruz, and this is including Arizona and Utah, Ted Cruz has 465 delegates. The remaining candidates are not in the running. There's no way they can win. Rubio has dropped out. Kasich, I don't know what's happened to John Kasich. I used to support him. Now, I think he's delusional myself. He's not dropping out. He should drop out. The right thing to do for John Kasich is to drop out. But he thinks some way, somehow, when the dust is settled, he is going to emerge as the presidential nominee of the Republican Party. I think he's either mentally ill or on drugs or something's wrong with him. No one will say that to him. And why am I saying that? He has 144 delegates. 144 delegates. And most of those are as a result of him winning Ohio. A good chunk of them. The majority of them are. There's no way that there's no so-called path to victory. In other words, he's mathematically excluded. He'd have to win all of them and that won't be enough. And that's the point. There are only two people right now that could potentially get to 1,237 delegates. That's the magic number, Froggy. You need 1,237. You'll hear that over and over and over again. Some people actually get it wrong. And the big debate is, well, I don't think Donald Trump can get there. He's going to be short. And then the question is, how short? Is he one delegate short, 100 delegates short, 200 delegates short? Nobody really knows. I think he could win it outright, which means he gets either 1,237 or more, maybe 1,240 or 1,250. That's still a realistic possibility. But I wanted to pursue what is more likely. What happens if neither Donald Trump nor Ted Cruz get to 1,237? Now, you'll hear a couple of phrases. The one, they'll have an open convention. What are they talking about? Remember, this is a political party, the Republican Party. They write the rules for their party. And usually on either the day before or the first day of the convention, the Rules Committee meets and they change the rules or modify the rules. They can. Doesn't mean they have to. And by then, we'll know whether or not Donald Trump doesn't need any assistance. And he still has a shot at it. I don't think that's ruled out at all. Or he will need to get delegates from someplace else. So where's the obvious choice? The obvious choice, ladies and gentlemen, is from Ted Cruz. Now, if he's only short 100, yeah, he could pick Kasich. If he's short one, he could pick Rand Paul. I don't think so. And I don't think he's going to pick Kasich, by the way, either. See, the only reason I think Kasich is running, he thinks he has a shot to be VP for Donald Trump. He considers himself, and I think it's absolutely correct, he's part of the Republican establishment. Now, he's trying to make the case, well, I'm the only one that can win. I'm the only one that can win in the general election. What I find a little bit mind-boggling when I hear that. Well, if you're the only one that can win, then why is Donald Trump and Ted Cruz winning and you're not? I mean, there's a logic problem here, Mr. Kasich, Governor Kasich. But like I said, if Trump only needs 100, well, Kasich could provide 100. He has, up to now, 144 delegates. So if Donald Trump, let's say, is 100 short, Kasich could instruct his delegates on the second ballot, not the first ballot, to vote for Donald Trump. Now, the delegates may or may not want to do that. Remember, after the first ballot, the delegates can vote for anybody they want to. In other words, the bound delegates, they're bound on the first ballot. That's why you get an open or contested convention. Now, usually these delegates are not randomly picked. They are supporters of either Donald Trump or Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio has delegates as well as John Kasich. Actually, Marco Rubio has 169 delegates, but he saw the handwriting on the wall. He didn't win his state. And he dropped out. He did the right thing. I wish he had done it 2 weeks earlier. And the same for John Kasich. I'm not a Republican or Democrat. And the only candidate, frankly, that I would vote for here is Ted Cruz. My problem is with both parties. They're both big government parties. And until we have a viable, successful third party that challenges both of these parties, we're going to get the same result. And I have said it once. I'll say it again today because a lot of people don't understand this, especially the supporters of Ted Cruz or Donald Trump. Let's say your candidate wins. Whoever wins. Do you think much is going to change in Washington, D.C., given the fact that both the House and the Senate are controlled by the Republican Party and the leadership of the Republican Party? No. If you truly want to change Washington, when I say change, I mean downsize, radically downsize the federal government, eliminate permanently whole departments and agency. If that's what you want to do, you need to elect more than a president. You need to elect a majority of the House and the Senate. That's how you get real change. That's how the status quo is defeated. You're never going to make fundamental, essential changes until you have a viable, successful third party, whatever its name is, that has an agenda of limited government and spells out what it stands for and what departments it would eliminate. And what I mean by eliminate, I mean close permanently. And until you have representatives as well as senators and really a president of this new third party, it doesn't matter whether it's Donald Trump or Ted Cruz, or for that matter, Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders. That is the beauty of the United States Constitution. You do have checks and balances. It's hard to change what you have currently. The problem is the Constitution is more or less being ignored. We're spending money on things that the founding fathers never envisioned. And the problem we face today is out-of-control government spending. So what I wanted to talk about, remind you of that, because I listen to a lot of talk radio, and people will call in, and some of the talk show hosts are wising up. They'll ask or interrogate whoever, are you for Ted Cruz? Are you for Donald Trump? Or are you for somebody else? Who do you support? That's an important question because many of these are, I'm not going to use the word rabid, but they're fanatic in their support of whoever it is, whether it's Ted Cruz or Donald Trump. I could vote for Ted Cruz, but I don't think he's going to get the magic number 1,237. Not by himself, he's not. In other words, there's going to be some negotiating going on. Deals are going to have to be struck if none of the candidates gets the magic number of 1,237. And what you have is the Republican establishment trying to plot how they could take it away from one or both of these candidates. Well, it's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. Again, I don't know what drugs they're taking. But do you think that Ted Cruz and Donald Trump together are going to let that happen? I don't think they're going to let that happen, folks. My estimate is by the time of the convention, the combined delegate count of those two gentlemen will be over 2,000 delegates. They're the players. They're the winners. And right now, Donald Trump is in the lead by 290 delegates over Ted Cruz. So what am I leading up to? Now, several months ago, what I'm going to float out there would be really premature. And to a certain extent, it's still premature. But right now, for example, there are less than 1,000 delegates that still remain to be chosen. Slightly under 1,000. I have the number here somewhere. Yes, 944 delegates remaining to be chosen. So Ted Cruz and Donald Trump are trying to get as many of those delegates so they can get to 1,237, assuming that they neither can do that. And also assume that Donald Trump is closest. Let's make it real simple. Let's say he has 1,000. Let's make it even simpler. He has 1,100 delegates. So he's short. And he doesn't want to make John Kasich his vice president candidate. See, what Kasich is saying, well, you need Ohio, and I'm governor of Ohio, and I'm popular. You got to pick me for your vice president, or you're never going to win. That's John Kasich's presentation to Donald Trump. If you want to be president, I'll give you my delegates, and I can help you on the ticket. You can't win an election without Ohio. You got to pick me. That's a strong case, but what does it overlook? And what should be your objective here? Your objective, if you want to be president, whether you're Cruz or Trump, is to unite the supporters of Cruz and Trump to get elected. And I think that will be the calculus. That will be the thought process. What you don't want to happen, and this could happen, what you don't want to happen, is either the Trump supporters go away mad or the Cruz supporters go away mad. Because then what happens is, come the general election, many of those people will stay home. And then Hillary Clinton gets elected. Donald Trump understands this, and yes, Ted Cruz understands it. He's bright. He understands that. Right now, Ted Cruz still thinks he has a possibility. I disagree with him, but he's closer. He knows what his supporters have done. He knows how much money he has. He has to select which states to spend it in and where he should give priority in terms of presenting his stump speech. But I don't see him first making up that big difference. He's behind nearly 300 delegates. Trump's not going to give up either. He thinks he has it not in the bag. He knows it's going to be close. He would much prefer to go over the top. And they'll split those 944 delegates, and no one really knows the split. There are just too many intangible variables here. I think what bottom line is both candidates are going to be short. How short? I don't know. That's anyone's guess. Remember, California is a big state. So is New York. So is New Jersey. There are less than 20 states left, and those states have 944 delegates. California and New York are big ones. And Trump, I know what's going through his head. I have a better chance of beating Ted Cruz in New York, New Jersey, and California. And that probably would get him close to 1,000 delegates. Remember, right now, if you look at his total delegate count, he's at 755. If he wins New York, California, and New Jersey, that'll put him real close to 1,000. Now, there's some other states, but that's the biggies. See, that from now until after April Fool's, there's nothing really going on. This is, think of it as a spring vacation for the candidates. Now, that doesn't mean they're going on vacation. They're looking to the states that are coming up in April and try to figure out where is the best place to go to get those delegates. Let's look at, in terms of the popular vote, Donald Trump has gotten 37%. I'm going to round it. He has 37% of the popular vote. And Ted Cruz has had 27%. Added up, that's 54% of the total votes cast in all states so far have gone to those two candidates. So what should happen? What I think is going to happen, and it's up to both candidates to come to the same conclusion and negotiate a deal, is to have a Trump-Cruz ticket, where Donald J. Trump is at the top of the ticket, is the presidential nominee for the Republican Party, and Ted Cruz is the vice president nominee for the Republican Party. Now, what's ironic here is the establishment of both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party does not want that ticket. That is the ticket from hell. That is their worst nightmare. And it is. They don't want Donald Trump, and they don't really want Ted Cruz. Now, if you notice lately, you're getting some of the people that really don't care for Ted Cruz are endorsing him. It's sort of like damning with faint praise. They definitely don't want Trump, and they really don't want Cruz, but they know that those are the front runners, so I got to endorse someone. It might as well be Cruz. But they're really not happy about it. And some Republicans and conservatives, and before I continue on that, and this is a problem a lot, I've noticed with Collins, and people make this mistake, that the Republican Party is a conservative party. Maybe at one time in the 1920s, maybe you could say that, but not today. It's always been a centrist party. I would say left-to-center party. The only exception is to that is when Ronald Reagan got nominated, and the establishment then didn't want Ronald Reagan, just like they didn't want Barry Goldwater. And just like today, they don't want Ted Cruz. The Republican Party and its leadership are not conservatives. Now, they'll talk conservatives. They'll try to make you believe they're conservatives, but do yourself a favor. Paul Ryan, for example, is in the news today. He gave a speech to some of the interns that got a little publicity. Anyway, look what his ratings are. You have a number of organizations that'll rate both representatives and senators, largely based on their votes, as to whether or not they're either a conservative, liberal, and usually the way it works, they give them a letter grade, such as A+, A minus, as well as a percentage grade. Ted Cruz is a conservative. He's an A. Last time I checked, Paul Ryan isn't. I think he's a D or an F. Now, you can go to another organization, they'll rate it a little different. And that surprises a lot of people. But it doesn't surprise me, because what happens is people will elect a congressman or a senator, and before you know it, they've sold out. They've been corrupted. They have taken the big checks from the donor class. And that's why at one time, especially when they were new to the House or the Senate, they were a solid A. Now they're a B, a C, a D, an E. A lot of them are Fs. The leadership is the worst. They're usually a D or an F. Do that. Google it. Conservative Review rates it, but there's several other outfits. I say that because the problem is the Republican Party is a big government party. That's what it is. They're not conservative. They're not for fiscal responsibility. They're not for balancing the budget. They're not for paying down the debt. They're for intervening both domestically and abroad. They want to expand the size of the government, even though our economy is stagnating. The core central problem today is government spending is out of control. Now, I said a lot about that yesterday. I'm not going to repeat it. But the problem in terms of who you're going to vote for, I most likely is going to stay home, ladies and gentlemen. I really am, because there's no hope for the Democratic Party. They want to. They're so far gone. They're hopeless. For all practical purpose, the Democratic Party is a socialist party. They want to make the government bigger and bigger and bigger. It doesn't matter whether it's Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, or Bernie Sanders. Now, they'll talk it a little differently, but ultimately their goal is to make you dependent on the government so they can stay in power. I call it Santa Claus socialism. Vote for me and I'll give you some stuff. But that's the deal. You got to vote for them and they might give you some stuff. They might. Then again, they'll lie to you. And that's what the American people are mad about. They know they've been lied to by both parties. Ignored, lied to, misled. And that's why Donald Trump, as well as Ted Cruz, have been successful. Now, the people that agree to be dependent, in other words, they want welfare programs or warfare programs, they're going to go for Hillary Clinton. If you're for big government, the bigger the better, actually the bigger the worse, but the bigger the better, it's the Democratic Party. And all those voters, there's no way to change their minds. What they don't want you to know is today, less than 30% of the voters are Democratic voters. You see, both parties are losing their voter base. And that's why I say and have said, once independents truly are over 50% of the voter base, and at that point in time, you're going to see emerging a third party, not a small marginal third party, but I mean a well-funded third party with an agenda where they're not electing a person for just one office, such as the president, but for the House and the Senate, a full slate of candidates. And what you're going to see then is many of the people that have left both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, depending on what that agenda is and what they stand for and what the candidates are going to vote for that third party. Right now, it's a rigged game. So if you want to run for public office, if you want to run for president, there's really only two choices. You either run on the Democratic ticket or the Republican ticket. You see, Donald Trump, in my mind, he wanted to run on the Democratic Party ticket. But he saw his pathway was blocked, first by Barack Obama and now by Hillary Clinton. So he made a calculated decision several years ago to go try to run on the Republican Party ticket. And he's been successful. Now, why is it successful? And this is an important point. And again, I know I am repeating myself, but it's something a lot of people forget. Your major television networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, especially their news programs, but also their morning programs, specials. Most of the people that are in news today that have gone through journalism school, more than 90%, and I think more than 95%, are liberals, progressives. They support the agenda of the Democratic Party. They support locally, county, state, and nationally the Democratic Party candidates. Now, assuming they're not doing commentary or opinion, that's what I'm doing. In other words, they're so-called objective reporters. They can't tell you that, but that's what they're about. They will slant the news. They will not connect the dots. They will bury stories that they don't want you to hear because it's negative to the candidates and the party that they support, and that is the Democratic Party, and its presidential nominee, and that is, or will be shortly, Hillary Clinton. Now, I didn't include the Democratic Party delegates because, as far as I'm concerned, Hillary Clinton is going to get the nomination. And if you doubt me, go to the same green papers. They have the numbers. And what's eye-opening is the so-called superdelegates that Hillary Clinton has. She has over 400 superdelegates. Over 400. Bernie Sanders never had a chance. And Bernie Sanders knew that. I always thought of Bernie Sanders as a placeholder. He's sort of like the rabbit. Ever go to a greyhound race where they have a usually mechanical rabbit today? He's the mechanical rabbit for the Democratic Party. the problem of Bernie Sanders has been to Hillary Clinton. He has single-handedly forced her to go further and further to the left. Normally what happens during the primaries, and this is the conventional wisdom, if you're a Democrat, you run towards the left, you run towards where your party base is. And then in the general election, you run right back in the opposite direction, in this case, towards the center. What you don't want to do, especially if you're Hillary Clinton, is to keep running to the left so you're so far left that you can't get back to the center. And that, to a certain degree, is happening, especially amongst young voters. They're the biggest supporters of Bernie Sanders. But as far as I'm concerned, Hillary Clinton will be the Democratic Party's presidential candidate, nominee. And I know many of you are saying, well, she could be indicted. Yes, she could be. She might be indicted. I don't think she will, for the simple reason at some point when it becomes necessary, anywhere between today and the last day Barack Obama is in office, Barack Obama is going to pardon Hillary Clinton. And once that happens, the investigation of the FBI stops. Remember, the FBI cannot indict Hillary Clinton and cannot call for the impaneling of a federal grand jury. Only the Justice Department can do that. And we're not even to that step yet. Now, I thought by now, or really, really soon, that the director of the FBI has to go to the Justice Department with a criminal referral. But they're dragging that out. That could happen before the convention or after the convention or after the elections. That is being slowed down intentionally. But let's say that the FBI director does the right thing, and I think he will do the right thing. I don't know when. And requests from the Department of Justice that they indict Hillary Clinton. In other words, he has more than enough evidence that crimes, serious crimes, have been committed. He submits that evidence. There's probably box loads of it. And then what's the next step? Well, after the FBI does that, the attorneys in the Justice Department, mostly Democrats, obviously the ones that are politically appointed, such as the Attorney General, is a Democrat, they evaluate it. That will probably take months, not days, weeks, months. And that probably will take you beyond Election Day. The only thing that could indict, that's the wrong word, the only way that Hillary Clinton does not become the nominee is FBI Director James Comey really soon submits a criminal referral and the Justice Department expedites the handling or the evaluation of it and requests the impaneling of a grand jury, and then the grand jury hears the evidence and indicts her. That will take 3 to 6 months minimum, April, May, June at the earliest. And their conventions are, I forget the actual date for the Democrat. I think it's July, either late June or July. If it's 6 months, we're almost to Election Day. And they're going to drag it out. They're not going to expedite it. They're not going to rush through it. They're going to take their sweet time. But until that first step of the criminal referral happens, nothing is going to happen. Ultimately, I think the FBI is going to submit a criminal referral. After that, Barack Obama pardons her and everything stops. I'm repeating myself because I've gone over this in at least a couple of shows, because a lot of people still think she's going to be indicted and we're going to have somebody else and this is going to mess up the Democratic Party. No, it's not. This is the absolutely last thing that President Obama wants, the Democratic Party wants, and their supporters in the media want. That's why they don't really cover this. You got to listen to Fox or talk radio and really do your own research to try to figure out what's happening. And remember, the FBI is rather closed-mouthed. Yeah, we have some leaks. We have reporters that actually still do their jobs and investigate and have sources. But if you're really going to rely on Hillary Clinton being indicted, I think you're going to be sadly mistaken. You know, the only question in my mind is Hillary Clinton gets the nomination and loses. I want you to think about it. She gets the nomination and she loses. Will President Obama pardon her then? At one time, I would say no, because he was expecting Hillary. See, Hillary Clinton is the third term of a President Obama. They don't care for each other. But President Obama is concerned about legacy, and Hillary Clinton shares his political ideology. They're both great admirers of Saul Alinsky, and that's the subject of another show. But the point being is everyone in the Democratic Party and their supporters in the media, Hillary Clinton is the one. I think she's a terrible speaker because she yells at you, and her voice is going. I'm waiting for it to give out. I listen closely, and I know, even right now, I've somewhat strained my voice. The only reason I went over this is there are still people in the Republican Party, American voters, that think Hillary Clinton is going to be indicted and she won't be the nominee. Very, very remote. Hillary Clinton will be the nominee, and it will be, or it could be, a close race. Now, what would not make it a close race? And this is where I'm really leading up to. If you listen to the news reports, what's been going on really since June, middle of June, when Donald Trump got in the race until now, what has been happening in terms of the mainstream media? They've been covering Donald Trump morning, noon, and night. He gets more media coverage than any of the other candidates, and you probably could add the time of all the other candidates, and he still would beat them all. Now, why? The media, the news media in this country, wants Donald Trump to be the Republican nominee. And the reason's simple. They're holding back. They have, or they think they have, the goods on Donald Trump. So they'll do anything, really, and this is driving some in the conservative media nuts, to make sure Donald gets as much time on the television networks as possible. Then the name of the game in television as well as radio is ratings. And the higher ratings means the more advertising revenue, which means more profits. So from strictly a business point of view, set aside politics, Donald Trump is a star. There's not a talk radio show or television interview that doesn't want Donald Trump to appear. And Donald Trump knows this. He's playing him like a violin. And that was part of his strategy. I know how to manipulate. I'm a master manipulator of the media. And I'm going to get all this free coverage. And guess what? He's gotten all this free coverage. Yeah, he's very wealthy, but he hasn't spent that much money on his campaign. He doesn't have to. It's all free coverage. And you see it on YouTube, you see it on television, you see it on YouTube and talk radio. That is during the run-up to get enough delegates so he's the nominee. Now, what you think is going to happen once he gets the nomination? Suddenly, all the negative material they have on Donald Trump is going to be dumped on his head. In other words, they'll build you up and then tear you down. That's the objective, and Donald Trump is aware of this. He doesn't care about that right now. He will care about it once he's nominated. Once he's nominated, actually before he's nominated, once it looks like he has a lock, in other words, he has the 1,237 delegates that he needs, at that point, and even might be a little sooner if he's really close to it, then they're going to trash Donald Trump like you've never seen from any direction they can. Their mission is to destroy Donald Trump. Why? They support the Democratic nominee, Hillary Clinton. That's what's going to happen. And Trump is aware of it. And he'll stand up to the media. It's no accident as major events he goes after the media and calls them names. I don't blame him. He knows what's going to happen. This is the easy part. In his mind, the easy part is to get the nomination. The hard part is get elected president after you have the nomination. Because the media is about to dump on Donald Trump big time. Roughly, I don't know the exact date in Cleveland of the convention. I believe it's in June, towards the end of June. But whatever the date is. In about 90 days, 100 days, the dumping or tearing down of Donald Trump is going to begin in earnest. There'll be exceptions, talk radio being one, as well as, to some extent, Fox. Fox does not like Donald Trump. In case you haven't don't watch Fox, I'll tell you, they don't like him. Now, who hasn't gotten the media attention? Who hasn't gotten the media attention? Well, Hillary Clinton has gotten it, but who hasn't? Who is really being ignored, except for yesterday? It's Ted Cruz. They don't want Ted Cruz to be on the ticket. They don't want him to be the on the top of the ticket either, because he's articulate and he's intelligent. And he'll make sure his message is communicated. So they have ignored, up to now, Ted Cruz, because they really want Donald Trump to be the nominee. So if your objective is to get Donald Trump on the ticket, at the top of the ticket, you don't cover his nearest rival, which today, by far, is Ted Cruz. Except, and here's the exception to the rule, he has a position that is critical of Barack Obama in the administration. What I'm talking about is Ted Cruz suggested they go back to a program that the CIA, together with New York City police, were doing, namely patrolling and surveilling Muslim communities. And from the president to Hillary Clinton to the fellow travelers in the media, they've gone after Cruz. So they'll invite him on the show to criticize him. And when he brings up, well, excuse me, yes, this program was started under George Bush, but it was continued under Barack Obama, and it involved the New York Police Department and Mayor Bloomberg. They don't want to hear that. And they'll accuse him of being a racist and an Islamophobe, but they have a problem. That's the party line. But where are the American people on this? The American people, in regards to immigration, especially illegal immigration, and the terrorists that could be part of that illegal invasion, they're with Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. So up to now, Ted Cruz, while he does get some coverage, mainly from Fox, but Fox doesn't like Ted Cruz or Donald Trump. Yeah, they invite him on the show. Why? Ratings. But the mainstream media broadly supports Donald Trump for one reason. They think he is, and I think they're making a mistake here, by the way, the weaker candidate. Up until a week ago, a little over a week ago, actually exactly a week ago, until Marco Rubio dropped out, they more or less thought Marco Rubio would be a good candidate, thinking they could beat him. Now, they really want Donald Trump to be at the top of the ticket. And I think they're right. I believe he is going to be at the top of the ticket, but then you're going to suddenly see a ton of garbage. Propaganda is what it is. Not news, propaganda. The whole purpose of the propaganda is it's a search and destroy mission, and the mission is to destroy the Republican candidate for president, Donald J. Trump. And Trump knows it. And I hope he's prepared for it. And that will start in June with a vengeance. So the question is, and this is the key question, if you're Donald Trump or Ted Cruz, how do I become president of the United States? Trump already understands this. Cruz understands this as well. You have to have, to the greatest extent possible, a united party. Let me say that again, a united party. That's why I've called the blog post to this show, I can't read the entire title, it's rather long, but I'll read you the first part. The Anti-Establishment Republican Unity Ticket. And who is that ticket? That ticket is Donald J. Trump at the top as president, the nominee, and Ted Cruz as vice president. And it very much would be unstoppable because they have the overwhelming majority of the delegates. By convention time, I think combined, they'll have over 2,000. They already have 1,220 delegates if you add up Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. You see, in the past, they were adding up the conservative candidates, for example, Rubio and Ted Cruz, and when Ben Carson was in it and leading. What the establishment of both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are forgetting is Ted Cruz and Donald Trump have the overwhelming majority of all the delegates. So the obvious two people that need to cut a deal is Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. And I'm making an assumption here, but I think it's true that Donald Trump will end up with a considerably more delegates than Ted Cruz, at least several hundred more. He already has 290 delegates more than Ted Cruz. And I think that margin will increase. In other words, by convention time, the gap will probably be closer to 400, maybe even 500 delegates. And if that's the case, then Donald Trump approaches Ted Cruz and say, listen, I'm short. I've thought about it. I know we've each have had our differences of view. We've each been critical, but I want you to be my vice president. And then the negotiation starts. And the question is, will Ted Cruz consider that offer? I think he would be a fool not to. And I think he would. And I think it would be a very interesting negotiation. And what a lot of Cruz supporters... Well, first, let me say a couple of things. There are talk show hosts that are for Donald Trump, such as Michael Savage and others. And there are talk show hosts for Ted Cruz, such as Glenn Beck. And there are talk show hosts that are for neither or supported Marco Rubio when he was running. And they will, Glenn Beck will say, well, Cruz will never accept it. Ted Cruz is principled, he'll never accept it. That's being naive. And maybe Ted Cruz will flat out say, no, I don't want it. That's up to Ted Cruz to say, but Senator Cruz, you'd be making a huge mistake. A huge mistake. Because I think a Trump ticket would win. It'd be a landslide. It would be a dream ticket. And it would unite the party. It would unite both Trump supporters and Cruz supporters. I know there are a lot of Trump supporters that will never vote for Cruz, and there are just as large a number of Cruz supporters that will never support Trump. I've heard that before in other elections, and mainly because words are exchanged. But what is the objective here? The objective is for the Republican Party to win in November. And if you're Donald Trump, he's about winning. He doesn't want to lose. That's what drives him. He doesn't want to be called a loser. He certainly doesn't want to win the Republican nomination and lose in November. But the first thing he has to do is get the nomination. And in doing so, he has to think, how can I have a united Republican Party? Put Ted Cruz in the vice president spot on the ticket. That's how you unite the party, because that way both Cruz supporters and Trump supporters will support the ticket. And what does that mean? That means the establishment of the Republican Party are out in the cold. And they don't like that. The people you're going to offend were never going to support either Donald Trump or Ted Cruz. And that is the leadership of the Republican Party, the so-called establishment. They don't want Trump, and they truly don't want Cruz either. Now, one of the benefits of this ticket is you will attract, as Donald Trump points out every stump speech, there are a lot of people that have never voted or have never voted for a Republican that are coming out and voting for Donald Trump. He is attracting what used to be called Reagan Democrats. Now, why? It gets back to what's the most prominent issue in this campaign, what is the wedge issue of this campaign, and that is illegal immigration. And both Ted Cruz and Donald Trump are ostensibly, by far, have the best positions on illegal immigration and immigration. They're not perfect, and I still don't necessarily trust Mr. Trump. But in terms of what they've said and their position paper on immigration, they're both solid. And that's why you have people coming out to vote for both Trump and Cruz. There are other reasons. There are many reasons a person or voter votes for a candidate. But one of the hot-button issues of this election will be immigration. And we know where the Democratic Party stands. They are for open borders. They're not for deporting illegal aliens, and they're not 11 or 12 million of them. They're 30 to 50 million. And that's what really discourages me. If I were Trump or Cruz, I would make that point over and over and over again. It should be made. Yeah, you're scaring the American people, but they're already scared, and they're angry about it because they're not being listened to by either establishment, whether it's the Democratic leadership or the Republican Party leadership. They're largely being ignored, lied to, deceived, misled, and told to sit down and shut up. And the American people are very angry about that, whether Democrats, Republicans, or independents. That's why if both Cruz and Trump can get together, and I think they should, it's a little bit too early yet, but sometime late May, June at the latest, this conversation needs to take place. And if I were Trump, I would offer Ted Cruz responsibility for what he's most interested in and let him spell that out. In other words, I want you to be my vice president, and I want you to be responsible, fill in the blank. No one is qualified to be president of the United States. It is the most difficult and challenging position, period. And Donald Trump will need all the help he can get. And he needs the support of Ted Cruz and the people that support him, as well as the independents that don't consider themselves either Democrat or Republican, though they view themselves, for example, as either conservative or libertarian. And he's already getting some of that from the libertarians. I'm a classical liberal, more or less the same thing as a libertarian, and I've noticed that there are libertarians now supporting Donald Trump. And Ted Cruz and Donald Trump on many other issues don't agree. I understand that. But you don't think there are major differences between Ronald Reagan and George Bush? Oh, yes, there were. But Ronald Reagan wanted to win, and he offered George Bush to be on his ticket. That united the party. I say that was his worst decision, but that's my opinion, folks. But if Donald Trump wants to get support of the conservatives, the libertarians, and the Tea Party movement, Ted Cruz is the person that needs to be on the ticket. What Donald Trump does not need at all is all the Cruz supporters, as well as the conservative supporters, not only Cruz, but Rubio and others, to fight him on this. And Donald Trump understands this. Because he knows he's not going to get from the press, the media, any positive attention. They're out to bury Donald Trump as soon as possible. Because Donald Trump will go after Hillary Clinton. You see, I don't think it's a shoo-in for Hillary Clinton. Not at all. And Hillary will be attacked by Donald Trump. And attacked and attacked and attacked. He'll go after her failed record as a Secretary of State. There's a lot to go after. So he's going to dish it out, and he's going to dish it out on Hillary Clinton. And the mainstream media or television networks, your newspapers, the Washington Post, New York Times, Los Angeles Times, they're going to go after him. Now, I think Donald Trump is concerned, but he knows how to handle the media and will continue doing what he's doing. What he needs is a support of a very articulate person, as well as someone that does his homework, and that's Ted Cruz and his hundreds of thousands of supporters that work for him. You combine the Trump organization, political organization, with the Cruz organization, you have a mighty, mighty force. And I think if that happens, I think you're going to see a landslide. Now, a lot of people are not predicting a landslide. As a matter of fact, most in the media will laugh at you. You can't be serious. You really think Donald Trump is going to get nominated? Well, I've been hearing that since June. I early on said, initially I had a little reservation. I thought he was a spoiler like Perot. After about a month, I said, nope, I think he wants to win it. I think he's dead serious, and I think he's going to. And left, right, and center of the media were gunning for Donald Trump. Well, he's in the lead. No one thought he would be in the lead. Just got the signal, I got to wrap it up. So what I think is going to happen, what I hope is going to happen, is Donald Trump gets the nomination. He makes Ted Cruz his vice president pick, assigns him a certain portfolio of responsibilities. They go out and campaign, and they win by a landslide approaching, if not exceeding, that of Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush. And that will be the surprise, the big surprise, not in October, but on Election Day or the day after Election Day. With that, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by prankpops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.